Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Praise God. Three verses here that I'd like to read. I know these are familiar verses from the Sermon on the Mount. They're important words, and I don't believe that red-letter edition words are any more inspired than any other part of the Bible. But these are the direct words of Jesus, so I think there is some significance for us to pay attention to them even the more. Matthew 5:14, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This week we heard Brother Bill Prescott preach one morning, and he told the story of a young pastor who his wife was expecting a baby, went into the hospital, and tragically the baby and the mother died. And so this young pastor goes home and has a young little girl, and devastated, overwhelmed with grief, goes home. He puts the little girl in her bed, and then he goes to his bed, all alone, overwhelmed by the situation. After a few minutes, his little daughter comes into the room and says, "Daddy, can I sleep with you?" And so she climbs into the bed with her father. And as she is laying there, she says, "Daddy, it is darker than it has ever been. It's darker than it's ever been." Now, in my lifetime, which is not so short anymore, in my lifetime, I do not know of a darker time, spiritually speaking, that I have ever seen, ever before, that we're experiencing right now in this nation. We're seeing it lived out in the media almost every week. Some demonic, tragic thing takes place almost every week. Nationally, internationally, all kinds of horrible things that are taking place. And it seems like that darkness is just getting thicker and thicker and more overwhelming. And sometimes it does feel like that it's darker than it's ever been. I was reading about Jim White, who was a young boy who was working as a cowboy in the late 1800s, about 1890-something. He was 15 years old, and he was in New Mexico, taking care of, on a ranch, taking care of cattle, and he sees this huge plume of something in the sky. He's not sure exactly what's going on, but he realizes later that it's bats that are coming up out of what we now know as Carlsbad Cavern. And this young boy discovered those caverns, and what's really wild, if you've ever been there, I've been there on one occasion and been down in those caverns. I don't really like caves much, but I did go down in that one, and there's actually an elevator now that takes you down to the depths of that cavern, and when you come out of the elevator, there's shops, and you can buy hot dogs, and it's pretty commercialized now. But when Jim White found it at 15 years of age, he was so amazed by it that he let himself down through the hole of that cavern on a rope with just a little oil lantern. He let himself down in there. And for 3 days, he went through that cavern with that lantern. And one point in his exploration of Carlsbad Cavern, his lantern went out. It went out. And he said that the darkness was so overwhelming. He said it was like millions of tons of black wool that you could see nothing. It was just blackness. And amazingly, he was able to pour some more oil into his lamp and get it lit again and get out of there. He spent 3 days. But that's sometimes how we feel about the situation in our world right now. Just darkness, darkness, darkness. Almost darkness so thick that you can touch it. You can sense the awfulness of the time that we're living in. But in the midst of all of this, I think we need the reminder, and I know that these verses, we've read them over and over again, and we know the truth of the Scripture relating to the fact that we're called of God to be light in our world. But there has never been a time when the church and Christians needed to be light any more than right now. Amen. In the midst of all of this darkness, Jesus is still the light of the world. Jesus is still the light of the world. And he's the only hope of the world. There are many, many names for the Lord, but when you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the very first words that are recorded in the Scripture of God's voice was when he said, "Let there be light." Because where God is, there is light. And then later in the Scripture here, we know it says that Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." But in our text here today and other places in the Scripture, he says that we're the light of the world. And so once we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, once we know him, then we recognize that we are the light in the world. And he's called us to do the work that he was doing in the world. And light is so needed today. Light is so needed in our dark, dark world. And he's called you and me to be the light. Now, I know that it's probably like me, it's been a long time since you've had a science lesson, but I think you know what photosynthesis is. It's just the process whereby growing things, living things like plants, are able to take the light of the sun in and change the chemical makeup and somehow, through the process of what they call photosynthesis, the sun gives energy and causes things to grow. Isn't it an amazing miracle that God created things to be able to grow? And it's the light of the sun that does it. Where there is light, there is life. Amen. Is there any light in here this morning? Seems kind of quiet, and we need to make sure that everybody kind of comes alive. But the world that doesn't know Jesus, they're groping around in darkness. That's what Job said. Those that don't know the Lord, they grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. That's the predicament of our world. That's the condition that our nation is in right now. Dark, 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 hopelessness, no light. And whose fault is that? Well, we can curse the darkness, or we can recognize that we have been called to be the light. Just as Jesus was the light of the world, the church is the light of the world. And if darkness is overcoming us, I think we can only assume that the church, you and me, we are not up to what God has called us to be up to be light in this world. Amen. And you begin by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, by being born again. When you come to the Lord and you're saved, then suddenly God begins to work into your life, and light is born inside of you. Your spirit is illuminated and you are touched by the power of the Spirit of God, and life is there. Isaiah said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." That was Jesus, the Messiah. "I have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." That's what happens whenever you get saved. The light of Jesus Christ, it shines upon your life, and you become light in the world that you're living in. The psalmist David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Amen. Once we know him and we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we possess the light of the world. Amen. And we are able to have an impact upon the world that is around us, and we certainly should be. John 8 and 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's what happens to every man, every woman, every child that comes into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that is truly born again. We're not talking about you just become religious or you just become a church attender. We're talking about a person that truly comes into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember the day? Do you remember the hour? Do you remember the experience, the reality of coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, when that happened in your life, there should have been light born inside of you. And it should be affecting everyone that you come in contact with. Amen. We have been called out of darkness, according to Ephesians, called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And we need to be shining the light. We need to be the light to this dark, dark world that we are living in. Amen. You see, there's a real battle right now to turn the light off, to turn the light out, to turn the light off. And the enemy is working in these days. And it's amazing to me. The enemy doesn't want us out there in Oklahoma City. Just a couple of weeks ago, they determined that they, the Supreme Court, Oklahoma Supreme Court, decided that the display of the Ten Commandments that was on the courthouse yards had to be removed. And so they were so afraid of the conservative element there in Oklahoma. They were so afraid of the repercussions if they got out there and took it out that they sent the crew out under cover of darkness during the night. So when people got up that next morning, it was just gone. Because they worked under darkness to remove the light of the truth, of the word of the Lord. There is this effort going on in our world right now to try to turn the light off. And I think that a lot of us, we're a little bit intimidated by what's going on. We're a little bit afraid of some of the things that are happening in our world right now. And we need to remember that if there's darkness that's overwhelming this generation, it's because the light of the believer and the light of the church is not what God called us to be. Amen. Our light is becoming darkness. Our light is becoming too dim. And as a result, the world is being overwhelmed by the darkness of the culture and this generation. But we need to be reminded of the fact that the Spirit of God is still the same Spirit of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is the same mighty, powerful Spirit of God that has been worked through in the lives of people throughout generations. And this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Sure, the enemy stepped up his efforts. He knows that his time is short. And sad to say, a lot of us in the church, we've just kind of backed down. We've just kind of relaxed. And the enemy's coming in. And not only is it out there in the public forum, but now the enemy wants to come right into the church. He wants to start dictating to the church what we believe, what we preach, what's important from that we teach and preach from the Word of God. I think it's time for us to understand, or at least to have this strong reminder here this morning, and that is we have been called to be light to our world. Amen. We are called to be light in this world, so don't put your light under a bushel. Do not put your light under a bushel. Don't hide it. That's what the text says. It says don't put it under a bushel, but instead it needs to be positioned. A city setting on a hill. It needs to be seen. It needs to be obvious that to everyone that you're a son of God, a daughter of God. You're a child of God. That everywhere you go, you have been positioned by God to counter the darkness of this generation. As I said, there's nothing new about what is going on today. It's the same old spirit of the enemy, this demonic lie of the enemy that wants to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. It's the same spirit that motivated Pharaoh to bring the people of God under servitude and bondage. The same spirit that motivated Goliath to have the boldness to stand out there and to curse God and to defy God before the children of Israel. Same spirit of Jezebel to intimidate the people of God, to drive them into the caves and to make them to think that they had to be subservient to that Jezebel spirit. Nehemiah, or regular Nebuchadnezzar, rather, who brought the people into captivity to demand them to live by their pagan ways. Herod, who murdered children, the same spirit, as you looked through, down through the centuries, the same spirit that was accomplishing things against the people of God, that same spirit is prevalent today, right now. Wants to stop the voice of God, stop the work of God, stop the moving of the Spirit of God, hinder revival, and he wants to put all of us on the defensive. Amen? He wants to put us all on the defensive. And so he attacks you. Attacks the preacher with sickness and the preacher's wife with sickness. He attacks other people in the church with problems in their households and their families, some in their marriages, some in their finances. He attacks people at their own level and their own circumstances. They're overwhelmed as the enemy keeps coming with an onslaught of trouble and problems and gets us distracted from our purpose and our calling, and that is to be light in this world. Amen. We have been called to be light in the world, so we need to take a step back. Let's survey the situation and recognize that behind all that's going on in your life and in my life is the attack of the enemy that wants to stop the voice of God. He wants to stop the light. He wants our light to be hid under a bushel. He wants to quiet the voice of the gospel. He wants to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. But we need to be reminded once again that we serve the living God, the God who his first recorded words in Genesis was, "Let there be light." And he is still calling to all of the people of God right now in these last days, calling us. I know it's dark out there. I know it's as dark as being overwhelmed by just all of this darkness that's just almost so strong and so powerful that it's intimidating to a lot of people. But the call of God is for us to remember that when there was a Pharaoh who was speaking bondage, there was also a Moses who stood up and resisted that spirit. Where there was a Goliath who was blaspheming the things of God, there was a David that said, "What's going on here? Is there not a cause? Why is this Philistine, why is he coming against the living God? Why is he blaspheming my God and the God of Israel?" When there's a Jezebel, there's always an Elijah who knows how to stand up to the false prophets and knows how to defy the lies of the enemy. That spirit of Nebuchadnezzar that wanted to destroy and demand that the people be subservient to their pagan ways. There was a Daniel who said, "I am not going to compromise what I believe. I'm going to stand for right." Even in the midst of all of this, Daniel was down there in that foreign land and he was all alone. And it took tremendous amounts of courage for him to pray 3 times a day and to refuse the king's meat and the king's wine. But the Bible says he stood up with courage and he was a light in that pagan foreign land. And God honored his courage and his determination and caused him to become a person of influence that God could use in that foreign land. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded that the same spirit that's prevalent in this day can be countered by a church that's on fire for God, by a people that's serving God, by a people that are walking in the Spirit, by a people who are living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. We can counter the spirit of this age by the presence of God and by the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's actively working in our lives. We can show forth the light of this in this world. Amen. Glory to God. We're not going to be able to get it done. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. It's not by intellectual strength, it's not by physical brute strength, but it's by the work of the Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, I need more of God's presence so that I can be able to face the challenges of this day. You need to be in the presence of God. Every one of us, we need to be in touch with God so that we're able to face the challenges of this dark day. God has called us to be the light. I've been concerned. Our Sunday night service falls off quite a bit from Sunday morning, Wednesday night, even more so. Just, you know, I don't know why that folks get in the habit of not coming to the house of God. But not only do we need you to be here, you need to be here. You need to be here. We need power from God. We need the strength and the power that comes when we come together collectively to pray together, to worship together, to spend time in the presence of God together. Because there's a world out there that's opposing us and wants to destroy the name of the Lord and wants to defy God. And we must be the light. Amen. Hallelujah. That spirit of the Lord, the scripture says, where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the spirit of the Lord is, God is actively working in the hearts of people and preparing us for the challenges of the day and the time that we're in right now. The question is, have you removed the bushel or is your light covered up? Do the folks on your street know that you are a Christian? Amen. Do the people that you work with, do they know that you serve the living God? Amen. How about those that you go to school with? Do they know that you serve God? Amen. Those that you rub shoulders with through the week, are you a light to them? Are you standing up for what is right in this present culture? We're going to have to be strong. We're going to have to be strong. Many times the world is challenging you to see if there's anyone with enough courage to stand up for what's right. Amen. I challenge you, take that bushel off of the light. Position your light so it's in a position of influence where you can touch the lives of people that God, where He has placed you and called you to be. I believe that for all of us, He positions us where He wants us to be. In your family, be a light. Amen. On your job, be the light. Amen. Wherever God puts you, day in and day out, the influence, God positions you to be able to be the light where you are. Live the life for Jesus Christ. And don't let the enemy intimidate you. He's a liar. He's a liar because he knows that if light can shine into dark places, that there's always the potential for life. Amen. If the light can be shining bright where you are, but if you cover up the light, then there's not going to be the influence of righteousness and godliness. There's not going to be the influence of the truth. Be a person that's of the light, influencing our world. Amen. God's given to each one of us a position, a platform, a place where we can shine the light. Shine your light bright where you are. Live for Jesus. Amen. Make His name known. Glorify His name. I'm not saying that you have to walk around and be obnoxious and just, you know, irritating people with things that you're saying. I'm just saying live a good life in front of people. Live a testimony before people. And when the time comes, just stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's right and be the person that God has called you to be. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were sometimes darkness, that's what you were in the past, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's who we are. Your lifestyle needs to be an influence, touching the lives of people. Why? The text says so that they'll see your good works. Amen. They'll see how you live, and God will get the glory. Amen. They'll see that you are a person of character, that you are a person of godliness. You're a person of love, a person of compassion. You are a person that is demonstrating Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, they're going to see that, and God is going to receive the glory. Amen. And we need to remember that we have been called of God to influence. And I think that a lot of people have made a big mistake in thinking that, well, what we need to do is relax what we believe and relax some of our convictions so that we fit in with everyone, so that we'll be loved by everyone. But you know, what the world is really looking for is they're looking for distinction. Amen. They're looking for people that are different. People who live for God, and it's obvious that they are living for God. It affects every part of their life. Their speech is influenced by their walk with God. Their actions, their friendships, who they associate with and not. Now, I understand that we're reaching out and we are friendly with people who are not saved, but we're not intimate friends with the unbeliever. We're not unequally yoked with them. We're friendly to them to touch them and to influence them for Jesus Christ. But our close, intimate friends are not going to be people who are of this world that are going to be trying to influence you. Amen. But instead, live a life of distinction. What about the scriptures that talk about the fact that we are to come out from among them and be separate, saith God? Amen. What does that mean? It means that we are not like the world. So we don't try to identify with the world or be like the world, talk like them, act like them, dress like them, identify with them. We don't do that so that we can you know, just be in step. We don't be like them so that we can influence them. No, we live a life that's pleasing to God. We live a life that honors the Lord, and we make sure that the light is shining bright. Everywhere we go, we are asking God today, Lord, help us to uncover the light and be the light in this dark world that we're living in right now. Amen. You see, the fact of the matter is this. The difference, the distinction, is what the world is looking for. It's what they're looking for. People in the world, they're very in tune. They're very, very wise and in tune to people who walk with God. They know people that walk with God. They know that they're people of prayer. They know that they're people who live separate lives. They're not not caught up with the things of this world. The people that are in sin, they're looking for someone who knows God. And whenever they really get desperate in need, they're going to look for the brightest light they can find. Amen. They're going to look for that one that is walking with God and living for God and living a holy life and living a life that's pleasing to the Lord, a life that demonstrates the love of God everywhere they go. That's what they're going to look for whenever they're longing to know God. So why not remove the bushel? Amen. Remove the cover and be the light that God has called us to be. And what the culture is trying to do is drive us into the church. You don't have any place in the public forum. And then once they get us to get out of the public forum, then they're the next step, and we're very close to that. They want to come right into the church and begin to dictate to us what we can say, what we can do, what we can preach, how we can practice as far as the ministry and the church of Jesus Christ. That the enemy's never going to be satisfied till he puts the light out. He'll never be satisfied. He'll keep working and he'll keep trying. But remember that God has called you to be the light. Amen. You know what happens? When you're the light and you're the light and you're the light and you're the light and you're the light, and we all get in touch with God, then the light gets so much brighter. When we all come together, it gets so much brighter. And we have such a greater influence upon the world that is in such need. Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what God is calling you and me to be. Now, another part of Brother Prescott's story about the father and the little girl was that he had read the scripture from Psalm 42 in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I encourage you, run the references on the face of the Lord, or the countenance of the Lord, and how that just getting close to God, how that causes your deepening your fellowship with God and drawing close to the Lord changes your life and brightens the light of truth in you. Amen. You want your light to shine? You get closer to Jesus. You draw nearer to him. You spend more time in his presence, more time in his word, more time in the house of God. More, take advantage of every opportunity that you have to draw nearer to the Lord, because you need your light to be bright. The little girl said to her daddy, "Daddy, it seems like it's darker than it's ever been." Then it was quiet for another minute or two. And then the little girl said, "Daddy, is your face turned toward me?" When I heard that, I'm a pretty tender-hearted guy, but that got a hold of me. Daddy, is your face turned toward me? Could I tell you today that in the midst of all that's going on in your life, the circumstances of your life, his face is turned toward you. His face is turned toward you. Whatever your trouble, whatever your worry, whatever has caused you to lose hope and lose confidence, his face is turned toward you. Would you turn your face toward the Lord today? Would you allow God to do a work in your heart today so that when you walk out of this place, you go back to your daily responsibility, that you're not just going to go out there in the world intimidated and afraid to say what you need to say, afraid to stand up for what's right. I tell you, you can just stand up. I never thought I would see the day that if you just simply say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, I never thought I would see a day when you would get challenged just for saying that. But that's the day we're living in right now. I never thought I would see a day just by making statements as simple as that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and the only hope of the world and the only way that men can be saved. Well, we live in a culture today that's so demonic that it's coming against that very thing. That shooter in Oregon actively walked around asking people to identify themselves as Christians. And when they identified themselves as a Christian, that he shot them. 8 of them died, were murdered by that demon-inspired shooter in Oregon. And that's the spirit that's prevalent in our world today. But thank God that you can walk with God and you can know Jesus. You can have fellowship with him and you can walk out of this place the light of the world. Amen. That you have been called to be the light to influence the world that is around us. Don't be intimidated. Go ahead and take the bushel off and let the light shine. Let the light be set on a hill, obvious for all of the world to see that I'm a child of God. This is a church that believes in the power of God unto salvation. It's a church that believes in the power of the Spirit of God actively working in our lives. What do you need? What I need? Well, I just need to turn my face toward the Lord today because his face is already turning toward you. And if you'll do that, the Lord can change your life and he can make you into something that can make a difference in our world, in this messed up, dark, demon-inspired world, the church. This is when we can really shine. This is when we can really be what God has called us to be the light to this generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the promise of your word. Lord, and the command of the scripture to be light in the world. We know, Lord, that it's as we are actively doing your will, as we're walking and living our life to please you, that we are a light to men, and your name is glorified in our lifestyle. Oh, God, I ask you today to touch the lives of people, those in this place, Lord, that for whatever reason, the light of their experience, the light of their relationship with Jesus is just about out. It's very dim, very, very dim. And Lord, they just need to come face to face with you. And they can do that here in this service and even around this altar today. Thank you, Lord, that your help is available to us. The help of your countenance, your face, Lord, is turned toward your people. And that can bring about the change, the hope that we need today. Oh God, would you touch the hearts and lives of people in this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Glory to God.